Blog Talk Radio.
Lesson plan for lesson four. We are starting in question number 10. I have added significantly to this document. We were almost through, but then as I was reviewing it and, you know, looking at some of the questions, I found where I wanted to add to the scriptures on them concerning this thing. And then one of the things with the Word of the Most High that I guess it kind of puzzles me, but, you know, then again, it doesn't. The Word of the Most High, you know, people will say that they believe that none of the Ten Commandments or most of the Ten Commandments are not in the New Testament. So I included in this document, you know, what the world thinks is in there concerning the Ten. You can find nine out of the Ten in the New Testament, but you can actually find all ten of the commandments in the New Testament. But, you know, the biggest one that the world seems to want to discard and say that they don't have to keep it is the Sabbath. So as part of this lesson, maybe not today, it depends upon how far we get, part of this lesson four, and I have to look because I'll probably do this again, but I included it in here, where the Sabbath is being kept in the New Testament, where you can't find where it was changed, and where the prophecy said it would be kept in the future. So how the churches, I don't know how they justify not keeping the Sabbath or the changing of the date. I really don't. But I wanted to make sure that it's covered in lesson four. Like I said, if not today, next week we will cover, you know, the Sabbath day. And I think I may have a lesson that's dedicated strictly to the Sabbath. What I put in there today, I will include in that lesson as well. Because it seems that, you know, I just don't know why the world would think that it doesn't have to keep Sabbath. You know, so they'll say that, you know, Messiah has become our Sabbath. Well, what does that mean? Messiah kept Sabbath. The apostles kept Sabbath. So we're going to look at this, you know, and we're going to look at the scriptures concerning it because, and for those of you who keep Sabbath and, you know, you want a good argument for why we still keep Sabbath, then, you know, what I'm going to challenge you to and what I challenge the world to is, was the argument about keeping the Sabbath, or was the argument about what you do on the Sabbath? Okay? So I think that you will find everywhere where they are arguing, debating in the scriptures concerning the Sabbath day, it is not about keeping Sabbath. It is about what's being done on the Sabbath. So how the church takes that and goes to the place of we don't have to keep the Sabbath, it boggles my mind. I mean, that is, to me, that is another demonic spirit that would tell someone, would allow them to see the scriptures in such a way that they feel like they don't have to keep Sabbath. But when the scriptures clearly, when I get through with this, there won't be a doubt by the scriptures that the church today should be keeping Sabbath and not the first day of the week. And it is in the New Testament, okay? But on the night, we are starting off with question 10 in the new study guide that I sent out. You know, it's just updated. It's not new, but it's updated. I added a bunch of scriptures there and concerning and added more questions and in regard to keeping, you know, the Word of the Most High, okay? And so on question 10 in your old guide, I had one verse. But I felt that that question could be strengthened a whole bunch, and that it and the subsequent questions needed to be strengthened as far as the scripture goes in their answers. So, I've gone ahead and done that. So we're going to go over that tonight. That being said, I pray everybody is having a blessed week. I can say that I'm having a blessed week. Yah is good and greatly to be praised. We are going to be preparing for the trip. You know, I need to make the hotel reservations and things like that. I don't think this hotel up there would be staying. You know, it's out in the wilderness in the boonies, so I don't think it would be being sold out. But I pray that I don't have a difficult time. There's a number of hotels up there, and they actually got, well, I think in Flagstaff, they actually got their first snow this week or last night. And so their first 3 inches. So there may be snow on the ground where we're going. I have to see, which is not it's not a bad thing. It will allow me to see the land from that standpoint and to film it. Supposedly, the snow in this part of the country, in this part of the state, if it snows in this part of the state where we're buying the land, that it doesn't last but a day or two, then it usually melts. So, we're preparing for that trip. I told my family I wanted to take them all up with me, do a little bit of sightseeing while we're there, but then, got to run around to different places to gather different information that I need to get. That being said, let us do our statement of faith. And I think I'm going to work on the statement of faith. Again, the Most High was dealing with me last night in my sleep concerning when he comes back, will he find faith? So part of our tenets, I think what he was telling me is to update and change part of the tenets that we have that we confess and what we are going to be pushing to the public concerning faith. And will he find faith? And what is, what is it that he's looking for in the earth when he returns? Surely, if we're trying to become the elect, be obeyers of his voice, then we definitely have to have faith. But how do we show that we have faith? How will he find faith? I believe he's showing me what needs to be done. I just need to put it into writing according to the scriptures, that we might do it, that we might show and have faith that he's looking for. And I really do believe it's even in the buying of the land, the establishing communities that obey his law, his statutes and his commandments, that believe that he's going to return. Those things, that we really act on those things and we show it by our actions, how we show that we have faith. Anyway, I'm going to be working on those things. Like I said, dealing with me early in the morning concerning this. And, while it's hot in my mind, I need to work on it so that I can get it down and, transmit it to you so that we are all on the same page, that, we're the same understanding, one mind, because we want to be doing those things and to teach those things that, that the Most High says he's looking for. And one of the things Messiah says, will he find faith in the earth when he returns? So we want to be doing those things concerning that matter. All right, with that being said, I want to greet you all on Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America, South America, the African continent, or the European continent. we greet you by the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. On this night, we are in the study guide, and this is like an open forum. And so before we begin, let me say shalom to my sisters who are, have called in. Shalom to each and every one of you.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, my sister. To those who are not able to talk, understood, let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine. And let's do it this way. If you will mute your ends, then I can leave your mics open. If you'll mute your ends. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We just glorify you, Father. We lift you up. We magnify your name. You are our Elohim. Hallelujah. And you are Elohim all by yourself, Father. And it's only you that we will bow down and worship. For truly, you are the only being in creation that we should worship. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just worship you. We adore you. And hallelujah, we just love you today. And Father, we would ask that you would be with us on this day, that you would make your presence known, that you would come and sit with us and sup with us in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your manifold blessing. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Yah, for you are our Elohim. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And let us go to, amen. Let us go to, the book of 1 Timothy, I believe. Just a second. Yeah, I think I want to get the scripture out of 1 Timothy. Let me find it this way. You would think I would notice by heart by now. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's get verse 15. study to show thyself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Now, before I start, let me ask if you guys were able to get the updated study, the updated lesson that I sent out. I didn't send it, but about an hour ago, so you may or may not have gotten it.
I got it.
All right, amen. Thank you, my sister. All right.
I got it also.
All right, amen. Thank you. All right. We are going to be starting on question number 10. How do we prove that we love HaMashiach? Okay, and the first verse I have in there is John 14:21, but I also added John 14:15 and John 15:10 in the lesson plan. And I have not updated the scriptures as far as at the end of the question. You'll just see that they're added in. But as I go through this, I will update my document. And when, you know, I'm finished with it, I'll just send you out the final version again that will have the reference scriptures in it. Okay. John chapter 14, verse 21. How do we prove that we love HaMashiach? John 14:21, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So Messiah himself says, hey, he that has his commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves Messiah. When we think that we are not up under our law, that we, you know, we don't have to keep the law, and we don't understand that Messiah, he said, I came not to what? I came not to do away with the law.
Came to fulfill.
But to fulfill it. So he didn't do away with any laws of the Old Testament. He said in the New Covenant that there are some things that are modified. Like one of the things that is modified is the sacrifice for sin. He is the sacrifice for sin. And he tells us in the scripture why we don't do that. Well, number one, we don't have a temple to make sacrifices to. And it's not that the Most High doesn't like animal sacrifice. That wasn't the problem. The Most High says, I never wanted to kill an animal for your sin. That stinks to me. And so I never wanted animal sacrifice for sin. But I had to have it to make an atonement for you until the true sacrifice could come. So when people think that, you know, the commandments of Christ are different than the commandments of the Most High, they are highly mistaken. They really have no understanding, because Messiah came and he strengthened the commandments of the Most High. He strengthened the commandments from Torah. He says, hey, here's a simple, you know, we're going to make this simple. I'm not going to dwell on it, but here's the difference. In Torah, by two or three witnesses were you put to death. So two or three people had to testify against you in a capital case. And we know most of the cases in the scripture were what? Capital. As we review the covenant and we review the commandments and the judgments, the penalty was death. No doubt about it. It says by two or three witnesses you had to, you know, there had to be two or three witnesses for you to be put to death. He says, but up under the new covenant, it's what's in your heart. So where you used to actually have to commit fornication or adultery, it had to be, and it actually had to be witnessed by two or three witnesses. Somebody couldn't just come and make an accusation of that by themselves. And if it was, you know, if it was an adultery or fornication, they had to bring both the man and the woman, both of them guilty. But it says no, and what Messiah said, no. If it's in your heart, you are guilty. So he didn't do away with the commandments. He strengthened them. He didn't do away with the spirit of the law. He actually enforced the spirit of the laws and said, okay, in the spirit of the law, these things are enforceable. So you want to go by the letter of the law. He says, but the letter killeth. Okay? But the spirit of the law also killeth if you're guilty. And it kills you by virtue of your heart. So if this thing is in your heart to do it, you are guilty. Don't matter whether you did it or not. He says, you did it in your heart. You know what, dude? If she would have let you, you'd have done it. The opportunity just didn't present itself. But if she would have let you, you dwelt on that thing so long, if she would have let you, you'd have done it. Just as an example. So he uses that as an example. So he says, how do we show our love for him? He that has my commandments. Someone will write them in your heart. Somehow, I don't know what Messiah is writing in people's heart, because if there's no more law, what is he writing in your heart? If we're not subject to the law, what is he writing in your heart? I'm writing my laws in your heart. The laws that you don't want to be up under. The laws that you say that you don't apply to you. See, people want Messiah to have died for all their sins and for forever, but they don't want to be subject to nothing. So they can do what they want to do. And then say we got an excuse because we're human. But that's not what he's saying. Hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15. The book of John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So how do we prove our love to Messiah? By keeping his commandments, keeping the commandments of the Most High. Because the Most High said, I'm going to take the old commandments, I'm going to make some modifications to the law, and then I'm going to write them in your heart. I'm not making up some new ones. I'm modifying some old ones, and I'm getting rid of some. But he didn't get rid of a whole lot of commandments. He didn't get rid of a whole lot of law. People have made it that way. But he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So I wonder really how many people are abiding in his love. How many people truly are abiding in his love? Even those that you know, make all these claims, it's questionable. How can you say that you ain't up under, that you're not up under the law, not up under his commandments? And so you're not keeping them, so how can you say you love him? It's contradictory. It is, truthfully, it's buffoonery. It makes absolutely no sense, except that, you know, this person don't want to keep his commandments and then want to claim that he loves them. So, you know, I want to tell all the churches, and if they ever listen to this lesson, you're a lie in your breath stink if you say you love him and don't keep his commandments. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Just that simple. Because he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let's keep going. How is the love of Yah perfected in the believer? Now, in I've added these scriptures that I've added to this for a reason. Because he's really plain and simple with it. And nothing has changed. You know, people think there's so much change from the old to the new. There is nothing new up under the sun. And so people think the New Testament is a new set of laws, a new set of standards. Like I had a sister tell me that it didn't say to love to love one another in the Old Testament. I said, what were you reading? When he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. To love your brother. To love the Most High. How do you interpret that? If I'm to love my neighbor as myself, that means to love one another. Where do you think that, you know, how do you think this is new? So let's go to, we're going to go with, start with Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. And if you're following along in the new study guide, then I don't have for you to go get it because it's right in front of you. Know therefore that Yah thy Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful Elohim, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Forever. So this is nothing new, because we're going to see when we get to the New Testament, it don't change. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. As thou shalt remember all the way which Yah thy Elohim led thee those 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. It has always been about the heart. Matthias says, but I'm now starting to, before I said you got to die up under two or three witnesses. But I always wanted to know and judge you by what's in your heart. That's why I told you, hey, if you sin ignorantly, you can bring a sacrifice for that. But if you sin presumptuously, if you sin willfully, you couldn't bring a sacrifice. Your iniquity was on you. So he said, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no, or not. I want to know if you really love me, because if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I say do. You'll obey my voice. You know, we've got people every day talking about how much they love the Most High, but then he's saying, how much do you really love me? Because if you got a problem keeping my commandments, you got a problem loving me the way that I want to be loved. So if you keep my commandments, I know that they're in your heart. Because if they're not in your heart, you ain't going to keep them. You're going to do what's in your heart. Out of the heart flows what's in a man, what's in a woman. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. You shall walk after Yah your Elohim, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you, upon thee, and shall pursue thee, overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearken not or listen not unto the voice of Yahdai Elohim to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahdai Elohim to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto Yahdai Elohim with all thine heart and with all thy soul, turn to him with all your heart and all your soul. This is how you show him that you love him. Keep his commandments with all your heart and all your soul. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16. And in that I command thee this day to love Yahdai Elohim, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And Yahdai Elohim shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. You show you love him. How? By keeping his commandments. How you show your love toward Messiah. How you show your love, because Messiah came to reconcile us with Father. Came in the office of Son to reconcile us with the office of the Father. We were in transgression against the Father. Messiah came to reveal him to us, to reveal himself from that position, that we might come back into the right relationship with him. Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of Yah, charged you, to love Yah your Elohim, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's why I say the problem that we have is that even when we say we're keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments, is that we're not doing it with our whole heart and our whole soul. We're doing what we think is the Most High will accept. We're doing what part of what we want to do and part of what he wants us to do and think that it's acceptable, and it's not. So we have to learn that we have to give him our all. Anything short of that is not good enough. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 58. That he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61. Let your heart therefore be perfect with Yah, our Elohim, to walk in his statutes, and to keep his commandments, as at this day. 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 30 and verse 3. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before Yah to walk with Yah and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant. And that's what we're endeavoring to do, to perform the words of this covenant. Perform them, not just talk them, not just say them, but to perform them. Will Yah find faith in the earth? If we perform the words of this covenant, then he's going to find faith, because we're saying that we believe. We follow your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, and your judgments. And all the people stood to the covenant. To perform the words of this covenant that are written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 31. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before Yah to walk after Yah and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. See, the kings, when they realized those that weren't evil or wicked, when they realize that they are not walking in the ways of the Most High, when they realize that they are contrary to him, then they realize that they have to perform the words of the covenant. Got to go read the covenant to even know what to perform. what did Yah say about this? And what did he say about that? And what is his instruction on this? And what is his instruction on that? And what is his judgment about this? And what is his judgment about that? And perform it. Do it. That's how we show that we love him. So the opposite of that is not doing it, which actually shows that we don't love him. Because he's defined how we love him. You know, it's like you're in a relationship and you tell someone, this is how I want to be loved. Okay, this is what love is to me. So if you want to show me that you love me, you will do these things. You will do X, Y, Z, whatever that is. And then that person doesn't do that for you, doesn't express, show the love the way that you say you need it expressed. So then how are you supposed to know that they love you? Well, according to you, you said, I need this. This is what it takes for me to feel like I'm loved, and they don't do it. Then they say, they're in fact telling you they don't love you. I don't love you enough to do that. I don't love you enough to do that and to continue to do it so that you feel loved. But if you tell somebody this is what it takes for me to feel loved and they do it, they learned you, you told them, and or they learned it from you, you know, over time, and then they're doing those things to show you that they love you, then you can look back and say, oh, yeah, they love me. How do you know? Because they do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, this is what I told them, either directly or indirectly. This is what the Most High is saying. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm telling you how to show your love for me. And if you don't do it, then you don't love me. It ain't real hard. And people want to make excuses. But the truth of the matter is, it ain't real hard. And it ain't hard to figure out. Psalms chapter 78 and verse 7. That they might set their hope in Elohim and not forget the works of Elohim, but keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. We read this all the time. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of mankind. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 4. And I prayed unto Yah, my Elohim, and made my confession, and said, O Yah, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. Them that love him and keep his commandments. They're not exclusive. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So they go together. Can't say you love him and then don't keep his commandments. And if you keep his commandments, you're showing that you love him, even if you never said it. If you never vocalized it, the fact that you keep his commandments would tell the Most High that you love him. So you're doing it by deed. You know, somebody cannot ever tell you that they love you. But then everything that you said you needed, that you need to feel loved, they're doing it. 1 John chapter 23. Chapter 20, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. How can the world say that they know Messiah? How can the world say that they know the Most High if they say they don't even have to keep his commandments? They don't have to keep his laws. How can they even say they know him? They don't know him. So I don't know who it is that they're knowing. I don't know who it is that they say that they're loving. But they are contrary to the scriptures. Let's read that again. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby do we know him if we keep his commandments. Yeah, all the ones you say you ain't supposed to keep, that you ain't got to keep, that don't apply to you. First John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever you ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I think the enemy has a lot of people fooled. I think a lot of people are worshiping the enemy and don't know it. And he has them fooled. Because, let's read verse 22 again. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and keep his commandments. How do you prove you love me as my brother? Or as your brother or as my sister? By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and keep his commandments. Wait a minute. We are just all kind of contrary to the scripture, the church, the body. First John chapter 5 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of Elohim. Let's say this a different way. For this is what Elohim loves, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments aren't grievous. Why are we think it's, you know, we get sad when we think about we got to keep his commandments. We get sad and it grieves us in our spirit that we got to do something. We got to give up something. That we know that we don't love him. When we can justify in our spirit that, oh no, I don't have to keep the law. I can sin, he knows I'm gonna sin, and all I gotta do is ask for forgiveness. See, those are lies from the pit of hell. Those are lies that are it has to come straight from the enemy. Because they're deceptive, and they deceive people. They're contrary to the scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. If you know you love him, you're not going to be worshiping anything else. But not only are you not going to worship anything else, you're going to obey your Elohim. You're going to keep his commandments. So how believers or so-called believers can say that they love the Most High but don't feel like they got to obey his commandments, feel like they got two commandments, to love the Most High with all their heart and all their soul and all their might and love their neighbor as themselves, and they think that those are the two commandments. Well, if you love the Most High with all your heart, then you would be keeping his commandments, all of them. Not trying to figure out a way not to. What are we called if we hear the word and do it? If we hear the word and do it, let's go to Luke chapter 8, verse 21. Luke chapter 8 and verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of Yah and do it. So I say, you want to be kin to him? You want to be his brother or his sister? Then you're going to hear the word of the Most High and do it. That includes his commandment. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. Now, do you know there's some people in this world that don't believe that we have a spirit, that we are a spirit infused in this flesh? They just feel like they're just flesh and blood, and they have no spirit. And I'm looking at them like, okay, I don't know what you are. I know what you're saying that you are, but I don't know what you are, because the scripture says that we have a spirit, and that the Spirit of the Most High bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim, the children of Yah. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Yah, and joint heirs with HaMashiach, with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. And that's that little phrase, that if, that most people don't want to see. You know, they skip right over that. Because, you know, then we go into the scriptures, how you got to suffer with him. Oh, I just got to show up to camp, have some saints talk about me. Get a little church hurt, and I suffer with him. No, you haven't. Okay. That we may be also glorified together. He shows us in the scriptures how we have to suffer with him if we want to rule with him. If we want to be glorified with him. He tells us how we have to suffer. Don't take the mark of the beast and see what happens to you. Speak too boldly in the word of Yah and see what happens to you. Be in the wrong place and say that HaMashiach is God, is Elohim, and see what happens to you. Because these are all doctrines that are contrary to the world. And when Antichrist comes, if your name is not already written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you're going to take the mark. As it says, all those whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life will take the mark. But to be in the Lamb's Book of Life means you didn't take the mark and you got killed in prison, beat down, under threat of your life. So maybe he didn't take your life. Maybe you escaped into a cave, into the wilderness. You didn't take the mark, though. So you couldn't go into town and buy anything. Because without the mark, you couldn't buy nor sell anything. But you got to suffer with him. And we think, you know, the little tribulations that we have, that it's suffering with him. I think the scripture says, you have not been tested unto blood yet. That means you ain't shed no blood for this gospel. You ain't shed no blood for this word, this testimony, or this witness. You haven't suffered. And nobody tried to stone you or beat you down. You ain't been beheaded. If you have been and you're talking to me, let me know, so I can cut you off real quick because I'm wrong. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And because you are sons, Yah has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of Yah through HaMashiach. So we got to understand that we have to become a son of Yah. And we have to, if we hear the word and do it, we will become a son of Yah. A lot of people hear the word and it's just certain aspects of the word they themselves can't believe. Either can't believe it or feel like they don't have to do it. Because if you hear the word and do it, then you will become a son of the Most High. You become his child. Before you go into the grave, you will already be his child. Because remember, Messiah said he came to give you power to become a son of Elohim, a child of Elohim, to become. And so when we hear his word and do it, we become. We become his sons, his children. We become joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, then we get to sit on his throne of authority by his permission for one day. All right. So you're no more a servant, but you become a son of the Most High. Change of status. Question number 13. Is Yah still revealing new truths today? Go to the book of Who Came to Fulfill All the Law and the Prophets. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. And I think I still need to answer that other question. Who came to fulfill all the law and the prophets? 5, verses 17 through 20. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. Because the church is teaching their people. You ain't under the law. He did away with the law. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill it, to fulfill. But verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot and one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. So let me ask a question. Good grief. How much plainer does it have to say it? How much plainer did Messiah have to say it? Have heaven and earth passed away? Are they still here? Is the earth still here? Is heaven still here?
Yes, it is.
So how did he just say, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot and one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law?
That's what he said.
So how can they say there is no law and that they're not up under the law? It's crazy. So all be fulfilled. Moreover, therefore, shall break one, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least, one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So all these people saying they ain't up under the law, and teaching men that they ain't up under the law, says they're going to be what? Least in the kingdom. Now, if somebody is teaching that to be least in the kingdom is to be in the lake of fire. I said, there's a problem with that. Because the Messiah said that the least in the kingdom were greater than John the Baptist. And he said that there was no greater prophet than John the Baptist. So if John the Baptist is the least in the kingdom, how can the least in the kingdom be in the lake? See, this is just people making up stuff because that's what they want it to be. Oh, yeah, if you break these commandments, you least in the kingdom. You in the lake of fire. It don't say that. So stop adding to. Because it contradicts what Messiah said. It says, if you say, teach people to break the least of the commandments. Just read that again. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes, the teachers, and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise and you shall in no case enter into the kingdom. So these people, if they're hypocritical, if they're teaching, you don't have to stay clean. You have to keep into the cleanliness laws. You can eat whatever you want to, whenever you want to. You can spend to ask for forgiveness. So you're going to be released in the kingdom. But he says, but do you think that that person is any more righteous than the Pharisee? No. He says, so unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case, in no wise, enter into the kingdom. So you got to be you need to be a doer of the word. You need to be a teacher to keep the word and a doer. You can't be doing like the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the scribes are teaching people the right thing. There's only one problem with them. They wasn't doing it. So I'm going to teach you. Yeah, you got to obey the laws of Moses, but then I don't. I'm going to teach you. You got to keep the commandments of the Most High, but then I don't. That's what he said was the problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. They say and do not. They tell you to do this, but they don't do it. They're hypocrites. So he says, if you're a hypocrite, if you're saying one thing and doing another, you're not entering in. If you're not doing it, you're not entering in. In these last days, through who has Yah finally revealed himself? Go to Hebrews chapter 1. In these last days, who has Yah finally revealed himself? Through who? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Yah, who at sundry times, and let's look up this word, sundry. Let's see, a synonym for it is various, miscellaneous, assorted, varied, different. So we can say, Yahweh at different times and in diverse or different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. You know, whether it was through dreams or visions, through a donkey, different ways he spoke to them. Has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, he made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Scripture saying he ain't ever said that to any angel. That's why he's saying, for unto which of the angels said he at any time? Name an angel that he said this to. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He has never said that to any angel. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and to let all the angels of Yah worship him. The angels of Yah only worship Yah. For he told the angels of Yah to worship this baby too. Why? You got to ask yourself why. Anybody that is believing that Messiah is some being separate outside of Yah himself, he said, Yah says, I'm a jealous God. And I told you to worship nobody but me. And then I'm going to tell you to worship this child. Why? Because this child is me. You just don't know it.
Amen.
And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of Yah worship him. And of the angels said, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. See, people read this that he makes the angels spirits and his ministers. But he's really saying, and as I can show you in the scriptures, who maketh his angel spirit and his ministers a flame of fire, those that minister to Yah. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O Elohim, or O Yah, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, Yah, even thy Yah, thy Elohim, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, people can't understand that the Most High is his own Elohim. Mm-hmm. I am my own God. Just like if you're an atheist, and you say you don't believe in a higher power, I don't believe in a God. I don't believe there's anything greater than me. Then you believe in yourself as what? God. But they don't understand that the Most High Elohim, the only true Elohim, the only true God, is his own God. Just like an atheist would be. But he truly is God. That's why he says, when he could find no higher power, who did he swear by? He swore by himself. He swore on himself. There ain't nothing greater than me. So I'll swear on myself. Okay. And thou, Yah, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and thou shalt wax old as does a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstools? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So we got to understand that Most High has placed us in a position that we should receive salvation, and that we should believe on the Son of Elohim from the position of Son, because he wants us to believe on him from the position of the Son of Redemption. But he also lets us know through the scriptures that this child in flesh is me. And so I came into the world as a man to show you that you can do it. Upon what foundation is the household of Yah built? Upon what foundation is the household of Yah built? Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 19 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Yah, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus HaMashiach himself being the chief cornerstone. in whom all the buildings fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in Yah. We are the temple, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of Yah through the Spirit. Yah wants to inhabit you how? Through his Spirit.
Through the Spirit.
And so we are his habitation. And somehow, you know, no matter what we do, we don't consider if Yah is living in us or not. And so we just know what we like. We just know what we do. Don't matter, you know, if we smoke or drink or fornicate, commit adultery, steal. If we have the Spirit of the Most High within us, then who are we taking along when we do all that?
The Father.
There you go. And then think it's acceptable. And then think, you know, he'll forgive me. He says, you defile the temple. You have made the temple unclean. Can't even, you know, here's another one. I just thought about this. He says, if you're a priest, you cannot drink any strong liquor, any alcohol, any wine. Cannot be partakers of that, and you can't, and especially you can't do it on duty. You can't come in the presence of the Most High being drunk or high. But then if he's dwelling in us, he's always in our presence.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do those things. So we may want to consider, does Yah really dwell in us? And if he is, am I doing things that defile the temple? And just for GP, because we've talked about cleanliness, let's go get 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's get verse 17. And when y'all have it, just say amen. I didn't put this in there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17.
Amen.
All right, amen. Thank you.
Amen.
If any man, amen. Thank you, my sister. If any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. For the temple of Elohim is holy, which temple you are. Do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Yes,
because
I do.
If you do, then we got to know that there are some things that just make the temple unclean. And some things, you know, we just want to say, well, we can't find that in Scripture. The truth of the matter is, you weren't born smoking. So if you're smoking, then you are defiling the temple. You weren't born drinking alcohol in excess. So if you're drinking alcohol in excess, you are defiling the temple. You weren't born fornicating or committing adultery or stealing or eating unclean things. Now, maybe your parents were. But when you came out the womb, well, you could have got those things too through you know, the blood. So maybe I can't go there as far as consuming certain things. But then after you know better, you have to put those things down because you don't want to defile the temple. because of you. So we want to put those things down. If we go into the covenant and we look, now think about this. If you couldn't even look on the Holy of Holies, if you weren't authorized, if you weren't sanctified, consecrated to it, if you even looked upon it, it was death. What do you think would happen if the person did something to the Holy of Holies that they weren't, God didn't tell them to do? Kind of real simple. Death. So if you burnt incense at the wrong time, death sentence. If you looked on something you weren't supposed to look at, death sentence. If you touched something you weren't supposed to touch, death sentence. Now you're the temple, and somehow the Most High is supposed to understand when you defile his temple. Let me show you something here. See, this is what people think. This is where they make their mistake at, and this is what they think. Give me a hot second here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to get verses 19 and 20. And when you have it, just say amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of Elohim, and you are not who?
Your own.
You don't belong to you. That body is not yours. And you're supposed to keep it clean. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are Elohim. It ain't your body. You might think it's yours to do with what you want to do with. But you're not. You're not free to do that. So when you think that you can do that and get away with it, the Most High said, if you defile the temple of Elohim, he will destroy you. Just a warning. But I don't want to see nobody get their temple destroyed, get thrown in the lake. Because they believe that they can do what they want to with their own body. You are bought with a price, the blood of Messiah. You're not your own. So we need to understand that and stay within those boundaries. Going back to what we were reading in Ephesians chapter 19, verse 19 through 22. Because you're part of that temple that's fitly framed together of Messiah, of his body, that grows into a holy temple in Yah. See, the body is the temple. The body of Messiah is his temple. So we are his body. We are the many members that make up his body, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of Yah through the Spirit. So we just need to understand that. And understand that if we believe his word, then we got to believe all of his word. What commandment in the New Testament, what commandment, this should be are in the New Testament, I need to change this if it is, my bad English. What commandments are in the New Testament but not in the Old? The commandments, the ten. Now, this is what I have in here. This is what the world believes, okay? And so I wanted to show this because this is what their rationale is. Nine of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, are repeated in the New Testament numerous times in different ways. For example, in giving a summary of the moral responsibilities to one another, Yeshua repeats four of the Ten Commandments to the young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 19. The only commandment not repeated in the New Testament is the fourth one, the one about Sabbath keeping. Now, this is what the world believes, okay, and this is their understanding. Paul references the Decalogue a number of times in his epistles. Sometimes, and so we're going to look at this Decalogue. What does this word mean? Let me get a definition for this. All right, Decalogue is just another like the Dewey Decimal System. Dec, ten, a law, just another way of saying the Ten Commandments. Okay. So Paul references the Ten Commandments a number of times in his epistles. Sometimes he is explicit in reciting some of the commandments, as he does in Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. Other times he references them implicitly, like in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. But we know that the law is good. It is if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. Because this is scripture, that the law is not made for a righteous person. Well, what makes that person righteous is that they're keeping the law. So if you're keeping, this is why I say people are misinterpreting a lot of these verses because and thinking that they're not up under the law. You are not subject to the law if you don't, what, break it. If you're keeping the law has no effect on you. You say that, Brother Miles. If you keep in Sabbath, do any other penalties that come with breaking the Sabbath apply to you? No, because you're keeping it. If you're not fornicating, does the penalty for fornicating apply to you?
No.
So if you're righteous, you are keeping the law and you're not subject to it. But they think that you don't have to keep it and not be subject to it. The law came to show us what sin is. So if we are breaking the law, then we are what? Sinning. That's what the law does. Shows us what sin is. So we look at the law, we say, am I doing that? Have I committed that? Or did I obey the voice of the Most High, or did I not? Am I not obeying it? If I'm not obeying it, I'm sinning. But if I'm doing it, then I don't have to worry about the penalties of the law. I have to worry about the condemnation of the law. Because I'm not breaking it. So when, let's leave our finger here for a second. Let's go to in the New Testament. Go to 1 John chapter 3. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law. That's going to give us the definition of sin. For sin is the transgression of the law. So if we keep the law, we don't transgress it. We don't break it. If we break the law, then we are now subject to the penalty of the law. Subject, if we keep it, we're subject to the blessings. If we break it, we're subject to what? The curses. That's our two choices. So when people say that they are not up under the law, when they say that it's for the lawless, if you don't keep the law, then you are lawless. And you're rebellious. So all these people that say that they are not up under the law, it's not subject to them, it's because they are lawless and they are rebellious. And they are not righteous. And they are ungodly. For the ungodly and sinners. That's who the law is made for. The who? Ungodly and sinners. For the unholy and profane. For those who kill their fathers or mothers. That's commandment 5 and 6. For murderers. Commandment 6. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not kill. For immoral men and homosexuals. The 7th and kidnappers, the 8th commandment, and liars and perjurers, the 9th commandment, and whatsoever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Here are the commandments and where they are found in the New Testament. Okay? So when somebody tells you that your commandments aren't in the New Testament, do not worship any other gods. Do not make idols. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse 6. But to us there is but one Elohim, the Father. Stop right there. Now read verse 7. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. How many gods are there?
One.
Who is it?
Yah.
That's his name. Okay. But it tells us specifically in the scripture, it says, the Father. But to us there is but one Elohim, the Father.
Hmm.
Now it goes on and gives us, you know, a list of other things, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, by whom are all things, and we by him. How be it? There is not in every man that knowledge. How come there are people who think there's two gods?
We have
and three gods. Okay. It's because it has not been given. Remember what Messiah said. To them it is not given to know these things. They can read it in the scripture and still can't get it. So no matter what you say to them, no matter how you tell them, how they're going to read the scriptures, they're going to come up with two or three gods.
Mm-hmm.
But to us, there is but one, the Father. Okay? Let's continue. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. For there is one Elohim and one mediator between Elohim and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Hmm.
But there's only one Elohim. Do not make idols. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Thank you, my son. Thank you. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now they're saying do not misuse the name of Yah here. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Me too. And amen. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of Elohim and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Okay. Now, they're interpreting that not to misuse his name, but the real meaning of that verse in Torah is don't take his name, saying that you belong to him, in vain, like you're in a relationship with him, like in a marriage. And you say, I belong to the Most High. I'm in a relationship with him, but don't keep his word. It's like getting in a marriage with a man, and he gives you the rules for the marriage, and you agree to it, and then you break them. So you both sit down and say, okay, this is what we think the marriage should be about. And he says, this is what I expect of a wife, and this is what I want from you, and you agree to it. But then you don't do it. The same thing that he's saying in thou shalt not take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. There are many references to the Sabbath day. Now, this is their belief on this, okay? Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. There are many references to the Sabbath day in the New Testament, including the assumption that the Jews under the law in the time of HaMashiach would be observing the Sabbath. But there is no direct or indirect command for believers in the church to observe the Sabbath day of rest or of worship. In fact, now they're going to use this verse, okay? Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 releases believers from the Sabbath rule. Yeshua, the Lord of the Sabbath, has become our Sabbath rest. Okay? Now, this is the one where they have completely corrupted the scriptures. Okay? Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holiday or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, when do we judge? We judge when you are in, we don't judge when you're in when you're doing it. The scriptures don't judge you. The law doesn't judge you when you're keeping the law. When does it judge you?
When you're not keeping
the law.
When you're not keeping it. Okay? So if you don't want no man to judge you in it, what do you need to be doing?
Keeping the law.
Keeping the law. Okay, so they will take this saying, don't let nobody judge. You can't judge me. Did the Most High say that certain meats and foods are unclean to us?
Yes, he did.
Okay, did the Most High say there are certain things that if you're up under a vow, you can't drink?
Yes, he did.
Did the Most High say that we are to keep his Sabbath?
Yes, he did.
The holy day and Sabbath are the same things. But we got to understand that. The Sabbath days, the weekly Sabbath, and then his holidays or holy days. They distinguish it here, but it's really like Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, Day of Atonement. Those would be what the scripture is referring to, holy days.
Amen.
Did he say to keep them?
Yes, he did.
Did he tell us to keep his new moon?
Yes, he did.
And he told us to keep his Sabbath day.
Yes, he did.
So when it says let no man judge you in those things, then if you're doing what the Most High said, can't nobody judge you in it. If you're not doing it, then somebody can judge you. The law judges you.
Amen.
So they take this as, you can't tell me what to do. I'm not supposed to keep this anymore. But that's a corruption of the verse. That's a corruption of the scriptures. Okay, so let's go back up to verse 14, because people will use this as well. When it says, and when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Did we not read that not one jot or tittle would pass away from the law until heaven and earth passed away?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Now, when it says blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances, we go into the ordinances, the Most High, the things he wanted to change, he changed. The ordinance was there a law that we couldn't go amongst the Gentiles?
Yes.
Yes.
They first go to the house of Israel, the children of Israel.
Amen. You can't, don't mix with them.
Huh?
He said don't mix with them, right?
Right.
That was a law. That was an ordinance. But then when he came to offer them salvation, he told Peter, what I declare to keep to be clean, don't you do what?
Call unclean.
Don't you call it unclean. I'm the one that determines what's clean and what's not unclean. If I say you can now go up among them, you can. So he took that ordinance away. He took the ordinance away of sacrificing animals for sin.
Amen.
But they want to say blotting out, does it say blotting out all of the ordinances in the law?
No.
These are the ones that were against us going as far as his body goes, which was contrary to us. If we gotta spread the gospel, and we gotta spread the gospel to the Gentiles, but still can't go amongst them, then we got a problem.
Amen.
If Messiah is the final sacrifice for sin, and then we're still trying to sacrifice animals for sin. We got a problem.
Amen.
So he didn't do away with everything. What he modified, they want to take, you know, like I said, cherry-pick verses, and they want to blot out everything. But it's contrary to what the scripture says, that it would not, one jot or tittle would not be taken away from it as long as heaven and earth exist. Can't change that. And so then you have to discern the scriptures in light of all the scriptures. You can't make the scripture contradict itself. And so they want to discard. If one jot or tittle will not pass from the law until heaven and earth pass away, as long as the heaven and the earth are here, one jot or tittle didn't pass from the law, but he modified it. He didn't take it away. He modified it. He says, I'm not taking away the sacrifice for sin. There is still a sacrifice for sin. It is now what? Messiah. I'm not telling you not to go, I'm not telling you that you should be fellowshipping with everyone. Now I'm looking at good and evil. And I'm looking at good people and evil people. There are good people amongst Israel, and there are evil people amongst Israel. There are good people amongst the Gentiles. There are evil people amongst the Gentiles. But you got to go amongst them to reach the good ones and to spread the gospel, as many as will hear. So when people feel like take these scriptures, cherry pick them and take them in absolute, and then if you bump them against the other scriptures, then you got a problem. Then you have to re-reconcile your understanding. Because they're not contradicting. It's the way we understand it. That's the contradiction. All right, let's keep going back to the document. So they're saying there's no direct commandment to keep the Sabbath. Okay? So let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. If they want to quote this. Hebrews chapter 4. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. Let's start in verse 1.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Thank you. And Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Now, who he's talking about them is Israel. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, enter into his rest is talking about entering into his kingdom, okay? Because when we have to take this back to, this is going back to Exodus, when he told them that he was going to take them into the promised land. And he sent the 10 spies into the 12 spies into the promised land, and 10 of them came back with what? Negative reports. And the people believed the negative report. And he says, okay, you're not going to enter in. He was going to give them rest from their enemies. He's going to give them rest from war. He's going to teach it to them if they ever needed it. But he's saying, hey, as long as you do what I say do, you ain't got to worry about none of that. I'm going to prosper you in whatever you do. Okay, so this is talking about entering into his kingdom, in this case the promised land. If they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and Elohim did rest the seventh day from all his works. So the Sabbath day is a example of the kingdom as well. Okay? And this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. They to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Unbelief. They believe negative report. Again, he limits a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. He's talking about now hearing his commandments and doing them and believing them and not hardening your heart against him. For if Yeshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of Elohim. This is talking about the kingdom. In the Old Testament, that rest was the kingdom of Israel, the promised land. Now he's talking about the kingdom of what? Heaven. For he that enters into his rest, he also has ceased from his own work, as Elohim did from his works. Let us labor, therefore, laboring his works, to enter into that rest, to cease from working, lest any man shall fall after the same example of unbelief. The unbelief is not believing that his kingdom is coming and that all of his promises are sure. So once we enter into believing what he says, then we can rest assured of our salvation. We can rest assured that the kingdom is coming where there won't be any more death, no more sickness, no more sorrow. We don't have to work for it. For the word of Elohim is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and marrows, intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we can't hide anything from the Most High. So he said, I'm going to judge you by your heart? You're naked before me. You know, it don't matter what you're putting on. The clothes don't matter. The skin don't matter. I'm looking at your heart. I'm looking at your mind and your intent. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yeshua the son of Elohim, let us hold fast our profession. What is your profession? Your profession should be that you are a saint of the Most High, that you keep his statutes, laws, and his commandments, that you obey his voice, that you keep his judgment. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So Messiah had some of the same thoughts we have, since he was tempted at every point. But he didn't what? Succumb to it. He didn't sin. So he knows what we went through. This is what I believe. This is why the Most High came in the form of a man. So he can say, I've been there. I've done that. I've seen that. I know what I'm asking you to do, and I'm not asking you to do what you can't do. I'm not asking you to do something impossible. And if you fail, I understand how hard the flesh is. I can advocate for you if you're doing it ignorantly. But once you know that you ain't supposed to do something, then you need to not do it. Once you know you're supposed to be doing something, then you need to do it. Because if you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin to you. So you can't say that, oh yeah, I know it's wrong to do that, but I'm gonna do it anyway. He says, I'm not going there. But if you don't know, he says, then I can advocate for you. I know how hard it is. But I also know that you can do it. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Okay. So they're using this to say that you don't have to keep the Sabbath because of that. I don't read anywhere in there where you ain't got to keep the Sabbath in those verses. So I don't know why they're using that as justification, except for that you're saying that, hey, I'm weak and I don't have to keep it. Okay. So we're going to, this particular teaching and understanding, we're at 6:50. We will cover it on next week. We will look at the scriptures, because the rest of these verses really show where you can find these commandments in the New Testament. But then we're going to get into, and I'm going to break it down, where the Sabbath is in the New Testament and just what the scriptures are teaching. Because the verses that they're using saying they don't have to keep the Sabbath, the scriptures are not saying that. And everything, you know, so I'm going to show you where the Sabbath is still in the New Testament. The Messiah kept it. The apostles kept it. We have prophecy that says, hey, so I'm going to ask you a question. If the scripture says, make sure, it's talking about the future, it's talking about the day Messiah returns, you know, the day of Yah, and talk about when the Antichrist comes, future event, and he tells you, make sure that you don't, that your travel is not on, is not in the winter, or not on the Sabbath day. How can you say there's not a Sabbath? And how can you say that you don't have to keep it when the commandment is to keep it? And he said, don't travel on it. Make sure that, you know, pray that your day that you're fleeing is not on the Sabbath. Why? Because you're not supposed to travel on the Sabbath.
Amen.
So even if you're running for your life, you better find somewhere to hide and bunker down for what? The Sabbath. But they don't believe that they got to keep it. So we're going to look at all these things so that we can understand and know that the Sabbath is in the scripture, and the Most High, you know, all through the scripture, all through the word, he says to keep it and to honor it. This is just showing what's in people's hearts. That's why I say that the New Testament is written to show, to reveal what's in you. If it's in your heart to keep the Sabbath, you're going to see to keep the Sabbath. If it's in your heart not to keep the Sabbath or to keep the law, you're not going to keep the Sabbath, and you're going to say you don't have to keep the law. Because what's in your heart? So it's the way the scriptures are written to reveal that. So, but I'm going to show you beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is there. And what, and every conversation Messiah had about the Sabbath, he never said, I'm doing away with the Sabbath. The Pharisees never argued with him or the apostles or anybody about, you know, do we have to keep the Sabbath? That wasn't the argument. So we're going to look at what was the actual argument. What was the debate? Was it keeping the Sabbath? Was that the debate? Okay. So we'll talk about that on next week. We'll pick it up here. I just wanted you to have what the church believes as far as why they don't keep the Sabbath, why those that don't keep Sabbath, why they don't keep it, why what scriptures they use. But starting in question number 15, then we're going to get into, you know, were the saints really released from having to keep the Sabbath? And we're going to look at the scriptures concerning those things. And we're going to look at what Messiah did. We're going to look at what the apostles did. And we're going to look at prophecy concerning this thing, because this has to be, again, to me, is demonic. Something, or, you know, or the Most High, as he said, I haven't given it to them to keep the Sabbath. But my people keep the Sabbath. My people obey my commandments. So let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you even right now, Father, lifting up the saints, lifting up your word, Father, that your saints should be not only hearers but doers of your word, and that your saints should always show that they love you, and they show that they love you by keeping your commandments. This is your requirement. Father, we just want to be obedient and faithful to you. We want to show you that we truly do love you. And so, Father, we will obey your commandments. We will obey from our hearts. Father, we pray that you help us and strengthen us in this, that you keep us from falling, that we don't make excuses to fall because it's what we want to do, but that we would be faithful to you from our heart, and at any time that we should think of being disobedient, that we remember you first and that we profess to love you. And that we won't let our love be degraded in that way towards you. But that we will love you with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole body. And we will walk in your way and we will hear your voice and we obey it. Father, you said it too many times in too many places. There's no doubt about how we should express our love for you as you have demanded, as you have requested, as you have said. By this will they know that you love me. Well, I know that you love me, that you keep my commandments, that you keep my word. So, Father, we pray that you strengthen us in this area, that you fortify us, that you give us not a spirit to break your commandments, that you might judge us, but that you give us a spirit that we would keep them, keeping us out of your wrath and out of your condemnation. These things I pray in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. On Thursday, bylaw review, we will pick it up where we left off, and I don't think we will have a discussion on the land this week. I don't have any new information. We'll have that discussion on the week after we go up and scope out the land, and my goal will be to put a down payment on it before the first of the month, before the first of November, to put a down payment for those portions, you know, what we're going to buy, so that we can proceed with this mission. So we'll have a meeting on the land, not this coming Thursday, but the following. On Friday, then we will be back in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant until we finish up the Old Covenant, so that we have an understanding, because the Most High said not one jot or tittle would pass, but he's modifying, and he made a change because he said there was a change in the law, or in the priesthood, there had to be a change in the law. And so there was a change, but he didn't do away with the law. So we want to understand those changes that were done, so that we're doing the things that he wants us to do, and we're the things that he's going to hold us accountable, and that we are doing and teaching to do and keep them. And not that I want to be anything great in the kingdom, But I do want to show our Father that I do love him and that I hear him and that I obey. And because I love him, I want to be pleasing. And I pray that we all have that same spirit, and we want to be pleasing to him. We just want to see him. With that being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you. I really do. I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Before we go, any questions on what we went over tonight?
I don't have any questions.
No questions at all, bro.
All right, amen. All right, with that being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Shalom, family. See you on Thursday.
Shalom,
brother. Shalom. Peace and blessings. Have a blessed evening. And get the subscribe ready. All right, amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.